from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
I think Kyle is a unicorn. He's a one of one. There's not many guys who come along like that. He's like a generational type player. You don't see many guys who's 6'4", who can run and change direction the way he does and still plays with violence. He's not a finesse player. He's got it all. He's a different player. He's very unique. There's not many players in the league or coming into the league that I see that look like that.
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. I think Chris Hewitt really, really likes Kyle Hamilton, and I got to agree with him. This kid's pretty special, man. Jeez, he's pretty special.
I'd have no problem betting on him for Defensive Player of the Year this year.
I want some of what he does up in one play. Opening drive against the Cleveland Browns at home. Deshaun Watson drops back to pass. Hamilton comes in, tips it up in the air, on a run, catches it, touchdown. That's him.
Yeah.
Playmaker. Is he the best playmaking safety we've had since Ed Reed? Different style, different style, but the best?
Yes.
Yeah.
He may be the best playmaking defender we've had since Ed Reed.
I don't think it's close.
No. He may be the best playmaking on defense at period since Ed Reed.
I think you're right.
You know, the only thing worse than thinking this guy wasn't going to be a good player is probably thinking Pat Mahomes wouldn't be a good player, but that
so,
being said,
what was worse? What was worse? No, let's rate him. You didn't like the Pat Mahomes pickup.
I didn't like quarterbacks out of Texas Tech.
And so. I didn't like Kyle Hamilton. Yeah. What was worse, Ed? Let Ed decide. Ed, what was the worst prediction? Him with Mahomes or me with Hamilton?
It's close.
Think about it.
But I mean, it's close.
You gotta
Mahomes
in,
probably wins, though.
You got to factor in what Hamilton did last year.
I don't know about that.
You got to factor that in. I mean, he did good.
Yeah.
Really good.
He's very good.
He did. Like win the Super Bowl for the third time?
They got close.
For the third time.
I mean, like to the AFC Championship. They got there. I mean, that's like the next best thing to the Super Bowl. Is being in that game.
Because you said you put some money on him being Defensive Player of the Year this year?
I think the more and more I watch him, you realize how special he is. You know, that word unicorn gets thrown around a lot. But how many players in the NFL can really do what he does? Like, we call him a safety, but is he? He's everything.
He is.
He's everything. And that's
he's like
why,
seasonal.
Like, the weird thing about... the weird thing about Defensive Player of the Year is... Usually you have to either have this amazing season with sacks, you have to have this amazing season with turnovers, something of that ilk to get it. He does a little bit of everything, so I'm wondering if they go and just look at it and say, damn, man, he got that, and that, and that, and that. Look at all that adds up to more than that. Like, I just think he's special, and if he gets the turnovers, which I think he will.
He will, yeah.
He'll have the sacks. They're going to use him as a pass rusher.
A friend of mine didn't like the pick either. It was one game last year. He made a couple of plays. And my buddy was like, see what I'm talking about? I said, dude, stop. We were wrong. Stop.
You see how I tried to B-Rabbit that? I took a shot at you, but also took a shot at me to finish that.
I'm like, dude, stop. Stop. you sound dumb right now. And I'll tell you what, they have different styles. I brought Ed Reed up. They have different styles. But when I look at him and Roquan Smith, I see Lewis and Reed, man. The dominance that you saw with those two. Those two are Hall of Famers, but you see the same type of dominance when they're on the field playing in concert with one another.
Yeah, I mean, Dominance is a good word because he's dominant. He's an impactful player, man. There's good players and there's like next level players like him. Like he can play basically any position, not defensive line. He can play any position in the defensive backfield, from linebacker to safety and slot.
Anything with knuckles up.
Yes. Yep.
So if you watch the receiver series on Netflix, they talk about Justin Jefferson being a first round pick, and they started offering him a contract in year three instead of year four, which mm-hmm. typically happens for, you know, 5-year contracts for rookies in the first round. It is interesting because, like, I think you might end up having to do that with Kyle Hamilton if he ends up having the type of season I think he's capable of having.
You don't want that dude to negotiate nothing.
You want to get ahead of that and not let him hit free agency. I mean, look, they could play it and franchise his ass and tell him he's a safety, but I think this is the time where he goes, Remember how they used to say linebackers? Mm-hmm. No, I'm an outside linebacker. I'm a pass rusher. So then they had to change how that was done. Interior linemen and, you know, tackles mm-hmm. have to change how that's done. He's creating something that nobody else in the league really does. I mean, like, talking about Jamal Adams used to be a guy that he'd help in the run game and get a ton of sacks. Wasn't a big interception guy. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a great coverage guy, more of a thumper. He does it all, man. And, again, like, I haven't bought a Ravens jersey. I mean, look, everybody knows I've been a Peyton Manning fan. I have a ton. I have a Ray Lewis.
You never bought a Ravens jersey?
I have a Ray Lewis Super Bowl jersey. I have some other jerseys, but I never went out and bought one to wear. You know what I mean? Because I was a Peyton Manning fan. And watching this team, it's so much fun watching them and covering them. And I've said this before, like, the fact that it's just great seeing everybody around you rooting for the same thing and enjoying that ride. Like, mm-hmm. it's just so much fun to be a part of that party. Kyle Hamilton would be the first guy that I would go out and buy his jersey. You know how much I love offensive players, so I think it says a lot.
That's true, yeah. It's funny. I was out looking. I said, I think I'm going to buy a jersey this year. And I was conflicted between Kyle Hamilton and Derrick Henry. It's like, because I really like both of them.
Yeah.
Get the one who will be here longer.
Kyle Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Get the one who's a Raven legend.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry's a football legend.
Mm-hmm.
A Titans legend.
Yeah.
I don't care what he does here, he's a Titan.
Yeah, there's a chance you get that Derrick Henry jersey and it looks like my Sammy Sosa Orioles jersey.
Not very good.
No,
all you gotta do is snatch it off and put Marquez on it.
Yeah. Well, who did they just do that with that had the same number and they changed it? They just put a new name on the back of the jersey. Because
I know at one
number.
Time they did that with Miguel Tejada and Adam Jones.
Yeah.
Both number 10. I remember when Miguel Tejada came back when Adam Jones was here, somebody said, you can give him his number back? His number's my number. He wear another number.
I know they did that with the Trump Pence and then Trump Vance signs where they just put a VA instead of like then showing it. Oh, we're not supposed to talk about this.
Jared, I think you were talking about Chris Paul. Because when he went to San Antonio, there was another player it was an NBA player that he switched teams and they already had a person with the same last name and they were going to take the same number.
That's it. Yeah, Chris Paul. When he went to the Spurs, it's like if he gets that number from it, it's got the same thing.
It's the
right?
same one, so you don't have to trade it in.
Yeah.
And then James Wood from the Nationals, people were buying his jersey when he first came up and 3 games into his debut, he changed his number. So then they let people return the other ones and get a new one.
That happened with a lot of baseball players, didn't it?
Man.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I'm not a fan.
I was just waving me off. So I don't know what I did.
Jerseys, man.
You know, bum me out. Numbers are important,
mm-hmm.
right? And we've all watched Ballers. Right?
Yeah.
Do you remember the episode where, what's his name, Ricky, the receiver for the Dolphins?
Denzel Washington's kid?
Yeah,
what's his name?
Ricky, the receiver.
It's okay.
Yeah. Somebody has 18, mm-hmm. and he's not.
And he wants to get it.
He wants it back. And what happens is they give him 41, and he's like crapping all over it. And I'm like, hey, that was my number.
Mine was 22. What was yours?
11.
11.
11?
11.
11.
11.
11. Stephanie's number was 11, too. Robbie was a defensive lineman, so he couldn't take 11.
When I was a kid, my dad was playing softball wearing a number 22. And then I started watching Danny Ainge on the Suns with Charles Barkley, and he mm-hmm. wore 22. And then my dad handed down a shirt to me that he used to have. It had mm-hmm. 22 on the back. 22 was my number as a kid.
So somewhere right now, because I know he listens to the show, Jim Palmer said, hey.
Maybe
right.
That's where my dad got from.
Guess who else wore 22 there, Jeremy? Yeah,
I know
Guess
that.
Guess who else, Jeremy?
I know that.
Derrick Henry.
So did Emmitt Smith.
Absolutely. Barbershop topic of the day at 8:30. You're going to like this one. But on the other side, we're talking Orioles baseball. Not going to like that. They dropped the first two. Nooner today for Miami. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
The Big Bang. Update from the yard. Brought to you by LifeMed Institute. Guys, regain confidence and performance in the bedroom with GainsWave therapy at LifeMed Institute. GainsWave is a revolutionary non-invasive ED treatment. Call 410-575-1200 or go to LifeMedInstitute.com to find out more. On 105.7 The Fan.
2-2. Instead, it's the slider, and it's a Marlins win. Identical 6-3 scores in the first two games of this three-game set against the first-place Baltimore Orioles.
That was really a frustrating game, facing the guy that walks 20% of hitters and has a 7 ERA. I'm just, you know, we got a bases loaded double, and that was pretty much it. So, yeah, not our best at-bats.
That, my friend, is frustration. That is a little talk, a little sarcasm there. That is that. You don't hear Brandon Hyde more frustrated than that, Ed.
No, you don't. I think he's done an amazing job in the past. All the years he's been here, keeping his frustration at bay when you know he was really pissed. It's funny, now that they're really good, I think the frustration is worse because it doesn't need to be like. I think he's more frustrated now than during the beginning of the rebuild.
Well, it's just like if you have a kid who's capable of doing a lot and he doesn't do it,
yeah,
you can hold him to a different standard.
Yep.
If you have a kid who's limited in the first place, then you celebrate the small victories. Well, he celebrated those small victories years ago, Jeremy. Mm-mm, not anymore.
Yeah, and look, the things he said are exactly what we were saying at the beginning of the show about, you know, you're facing a pitcher that walks way too many guys. He has an ERA over 7, and you go, what happened? And the only guy on this team right now that's really hitting is Colton Cowser. Whether go look at his numbers over the past couple weeks. I've been talking about him not having, you know, the type of season, and he kind of faded after those home runs. But
Joe,
he's been
better. You said he has a 10-game hitting streak?
10-game hitting streak for Santander.
Oh, Santander. Okay. I didn't know Cowser did that.
Cowser's hitting like 375 in his last. Here, I'll find the
numbers again. No, I didn't. He said 10-game hitting streak. I didn't know whether he was saying Cowser or somebody else. Yeah, Cowser's been doing well. And for a league, for an American league that does not have anybody that wants to take that rookie of the year by the bull by the horns. If he gets hot right now, he could get right back in that picture.
Yeah, Zach Bollinger tweeted this. Colton Cowser, it's just his last 7 games, okay? 375, 9 hits, 1 home run, 6 ribbies, 4 walks, an OPS of 1.048. Small sample size, but pretty good.
Well, we know it's not a fluke because we've seen him do it before at the beginning of the season.
Just got to be consistent.
And Jeremy, if he gets on a run now, he's right back in that picture, in that race.
Yeah.
He's got all the other numbers. I'd love to see him get back in it. That guy can pick him up and put him down. The other day when he beat out the infield single, what day was that?
That was Tuesday. Yeah.
He could pick him up and put him down for a big man.
The other thing we talked about is defensively, and I know it's not something that people focus on because they're going to always look at the bat. If you're a sieve defensively, we'll bring that up, right? If you're terrible out there. But if someone's good, and he's been really good, better than advertised, whether people realize it or not, he has more runs saved than any other rookie in the American League.
I think what's his WAR?
I think it might be in baseball. He might still have the highest WAR amongst rookies, but I still think Wyatt Langford has the lead for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, because he's been hot lately.
Mm-hmm.
You wait. Colton Cowser's WAR is 1.5.
I think I think his speed surprised everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we heard he had plus speed, but I didn't know it was that much plus.
Yep.
I mean, that was not a lot of people beat that infield single out. And I think the pitcher saw him in his peripheral vision, and he tried to pick it up quickly, and he couldn't. He couldn't get to the bag. I think he had to change gears.
You saw him hold up at second, though, last night, because he wasn't running into the third out again like he did on Tuesday?
Was that Tuesday
or Sunday?
Night? No, was that definitely not Sunday. It must have been Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
It does look a little bit like Rutschman's been struggling some, too, at the plate. But I'm not trying to single out certain people as you're watching it, because the whole team hasn't been hitting except for, as we pointed out, Santander and Cowser.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Jeremy Kahn, July Adley Rutschman is batting 133 with an OPS of 507.
Yeah.
In the month of July.
I just read somewhere Cowser's OPS for the season is not far off from Rutschman's. You know, but like we talked about how hot he got in the beginning, and then now we need to see these guys starting to put it together, because I don't want to see kind of. We saw this in September a little bit last year, didn't we, where it looked like the offense kind of faded some?
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
So I'm not saying there's not reason for concern, but I think a lot of people are way overreacting until the until we get to the trade deadline. I'm not overreacting. Look, this sucks losing two out of whatever. They should win today. They're 275 favorites. They should just destroy them, and you got a stopper coming in that should be able to stop them.
Should have been destroying them every day.
Just it's worrisome about the bats and how things have been going, so much so that we even had the question today, do they need to trade for a bat?
Well, I was concerned since the first five-game losing streak after the New York Yankees series, when they came out of that. They scored a lot of runs against Houston, lost 14-11, but over the next two games, they scored a combined four runs. Kind of made me worry a little bit. They beat Cleveland in the last game of that series, but it was 4-2. So I've been concerned for a little while. I'm not worried, but I'm concerned. I'll get worried if the Yankees heat up and the Orioles don't. That'll worry me. Right now, I'm just concerned. I don't think anybody in the American League East is ready to take over.
No, and I'm a little... I'm worried because I don't think the Yankees are going to remain this bad much longer. They can't. They can't. And this is, I don't know, I just feel like not they've blown an opportunity, but they have. They've blown an opportunity to really put, you know, some distance between them.
But is help on the way for the Yankees? I mean, so Giancarlo Stanton should be back.
Mm-hmm.
Gerrit Cole has not looked good.
He's going to look good.
Eventually, you expect it. Carlos Rodon hasn't been as bad as people think, but hasn't looked good. Marcus Stroman hasn't looked good. I'm not done with the pitching yet. Mm-hmm. Luis Gil had his, you know, hiccup in the middle of the season with three games. And we don't know how much longer he's going to pitch.
Yeah.
They do have, what's the other starter they have? He's a white.
How did they think Marcus Stroman was going to be good? I never understood that signing for them. Marcus Stroman is like a signing for what we thought of the Pirates or, you know, one of those teams.
Yeah.
He's not a Yankee signing.
But he had that incredible year last year until the last month and a half. Until
reality, to me, it was enough struggles for me to realize he ain't that cat.
Yeah, look, he's been kind of a mixture. I mean, he does get quite a few ground balls. He's probably one of those guys that's somewhere in the middle. Maybe he's more of a ground ball pitcher than a fly ball pitcher. But they had to get somebody. And let's be honest, the market wasn't great last year. I mean, the Cardinals signed three pitchers. And that was Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn, and Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray being the best of the bunch.
Right.
But that's what they were kicking the tires on, hoping that's going to take them to the playoffs. I think they felt Marcus Stroman could be their fifth starter. Why can't I remember the other starter for them?
See, for the Cardinals making those moves in the NL Central is different than the Yankees making that move in the AL East.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
But I get it. But I'm talking about free agency.
Let's go to Water's Edge and get Mike. What's up, Mike?
How we doing, Carlos?
Doing well.
Wow, good, man.
Good, good. Hey, I'm getting frustrated. I am getting concerned because you look at that playoff run last year. The lack of hitting is rearing its ugly head again this year. And a lot of the talking heads, just real quick, are saying, hey, Orioles need a starter or two and they'll be fine. But there's a lot more needs on this team than that. I mean, they need a good bit of relief help. They need probably two starters. And they need somebody that can get on base. You don't have to knock the ball out of the park, but just somebody that can get on a table setter. And I know that used to be Gunner, but he's in a funk. But they just need, I think they need another bat. And I'll get your opinion.
He said something, and that's the thing about the offense. They used to be Gunner, but he's in a slump. So my question to you is this. Are we in a position, Ed, now where we're going to make these offensive trades because we don't have these guys, or do we have these guys that are just currently in a slump? Because I'm not getting rid of guys just because they're in a slump.
Yeah, I think it's like these guys are in a slump. You may need another bat, but I might get rid of anybody because they're not hitting right now. I mean, you mentioned Adley Rutschman is having a terrible month. You couldn't get rid of Adley Rutschman?
No. I mean, look, a lot of this stuff's cyclical. Yeah. The guy I was talking about was Clark Schmidt. He got put on the 60-day DL after May 26th, and he was pitching really well for him. He had
2.52 ERA.
Yeah, so that's a guy that they really need to get back. And again, we'll see if they make another splash. Their farm system's not as great as some of the other teams that are going to be in the mix, but they do have pieces they can move.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Orioles are 11th in on-base percentage in all of baseball, but at the same time, when you look at slugging, they're number one in slugging in all of baseball, which means they're number two overall in OPS. So while the on-base percentage is top half, but the slugging in the OPS is top two.
You're hoping it works itself out, but you just can't expect it to do that, you know?
World of Stupid at 9 o'clock. Todd Karpovich joins us at 9:15, but on the other side, our barbershop topic of the day. David Rubenstein says he has faith in Elias and the decision he makes is taking the hands-off approach the right decision for this team. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. David Rubenstein says he has full faith in Mike Elias in the direction of the team. Ed, do you think now is the time for the owner to have a hands-off approach?
Yes, I think he does.
Do you like that, though?
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want him to be a little bit more involved?
Baseball people. No. No. I don't want a Jerry Jones. No. I like what he said. The stuff he said to Dubroff was perfect. Like, he says, basically, he knows what he doesn't know. He goes, hey, you know, I trust Mike Elias. I know he's going to make good decisions and be cautious and, you know, not be reckless. It's exactly what you want. You have a great front office. Now you got appears to be a really good owner. You know, let the baseball guys run the baseball team. They make this. You see them make this mistake all the time in professional sports, where the guy who has the money thinks he knows everything. You don't.
Jeremy, you don't want him to be a little more active in the day to day.
Who? Rubenstein?
Yes,
Rubenstein.
A little more active.
No, I love what he's done thus far. He still has, it's sad to say this because I think we all believe what's going to happen, but he still has to prove it to fans that he's going to, add some payroll, keep this thing rolling, try to better this team. He's done everything so far. And, like, I saw some people making fun of him for being out in the stands and squirting the water gun and being Mr. Splash for a day. That cat's been out there giving out gift cards and hats to people, shirts. He's been doing everything. But that's why I wanted to ask Dubroff in his conversation with him, does he feel like he's the type of owner that's going to let baseball guys make baseball decisions, but when it comes to the finances, that's his decision, right? Like, I don't want to pay that. We can't do that. And I think Mike Elias is in line with that. He doesn't want to just go throw money at every problem. He's building this the right way.
Does he make all of the financial decisions, or does he give Mike Elias a budget to operate
in? And that's what Mike Elias said earlier, right? That he told him he can spend more money. And he's just going to add it smartly, though. It's not like they're going to go out and you can add payroll, but we're not going to get ridiculous and add some awful contract like, you know, what I talked about with Javier Baez. Would you take a bad contract to give up less prospects to go along with Skubal?
I would.
Which, yeah, and maybe it doesn't make sense for the Orioles, but something like that makes sense for the Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I was trying to push you in the opposite direction to say, yeah, but I don't want him involved day-to-day operations, largely because of what this man right here said. I don't want a Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
I like his position. I like him going out there, being with the fans and spraying. I don't know who wants to make fun of that. You don't like fun if you make fun of the owner out there.
You know what it was? It was just jealousy. I think it was a Yankees fan that posted, like, look at this owner. What's he doing? Was it a Barstool story or something? It was a Red Sox fan. That's what it was. Or a Red Sox writer, but still a fan the way he wrote that article.
Who owns the Red Sox?
That's...
Same dudes that own some of Manchester United, too, or something. Liverpool, I think.
Yeah, I thought the Buccaneers owner has the Man U.
I mean, my John Henry.
Okay.
You know, he worked on the railroads.
Yes. Yeah. John Henry. So you think this is a new regime, is a successful regime when it's all said and done it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think they're a success already. I think they're going to be more to come. I think, you know, the way this is unfolded seems like it's clearly going in the right direction. You have, you know, Elias gets picked up, brings his staff with him, you know, between Sig and Eve and everybody they have over there. They've done amazing work, fulfilled every promise, and more than that, have gotten results. Because we've seen rebuilds go badly. White Sox, Phillies. I mean, there's been some throughout that did not work. This has clearly worked. I think you got really smart people running the organization now.
He's two for two.
Elias. Yes.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Two for two.
So you got that. And then in steps an owner who's willing to spend money now. So now you're going to give these really smart guys some ammunition and some play money to spend with and bring some players in. It's like a totally different team.
You know, it's funny because if you didn't trust the GM or the front office, I should say, as much as you did before the owner got here, you wouldn't want him to have such a hands-off approach. The reason why we want him, hey, stay back, because we're all saying these guys are good.
Well, don't screw this up is basically what
I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. Pay the man.
Yep.
Pay the man. And that's what it is. And I think it's pointed out in Rich Dubroff's in BaltimoreBaseball.com in his article. And I thought, you know, Rich kind of gave him the caveat. You know, you took over a very successful team. And if I'm taking over a successful business, which to me is the best thing ever, I'm not coming in with guns a-blazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's already successful. It's not broke. Don't fix it. So he can come in and he can afford to pass out hats and pass out shirts. I think he's more involved in the marketing.
Oh, it
because
like
marketing brings money.
The
brings
videos revenue. They've done,
yes.
The fun, like there's been a lot of fun ones. Mm-hmm. And
his handprint handprint is on this for organization, no doubt about it. The live hot dog races.
Yeah.
His handprint is on the organization.
I like how they schedule them now.
Even if he's not coming up with the idea, but allowing the smart people in the room to use. Because I think for a while, Orioles had some smart people who weren't allowed to show their intelligence.
Yeah.
And I think right now, even if David Rubenstein is not the one that's coming up with the ideas, which maybe some of them, I think he's smart enough to know, you know, you got some smart people in the room. How about you go ahead and do that? I like that idea.
Yeah,
do it.
Seriously.
Go forth with it.
It's, you know, it's interesting because like the way that people are looking at this team and because they're struggling, all of a sudden things are down. You should be looking at Yankees fans. One of them asked who's up after LeMahieu, and somebody else said the Mets. That's
you guys suck.
That's funny.
Oh my god. I like that one though. Yeah, so badly.
The Mets.
The Mets. The sign is retired.
He's grounded out in almost every at bat. Weak hit the third base, and he's thrown out.
Jeremy, how much do you think? Do you think the revenue will increase? Well, I should say the spending would increase significantly within the next 3 years.
I absolutely do. But I don't, like, again, people have to understand, we're still, even with all we're doing, we're still not the Mets, we're still not the Dodgers. The key here is, and everybody's going to want them to spend every offseason, you have to treat this like chess and not like checkers sometimes. You know, you got to look at the pieces you have and who you want to pay, who you can pay. I mean, there's a legitimate concern of a team like the Orioles being able to keep, let's say Jackson stays here, right? The three top guys we talked about, Jackson Holliday, Adley Rutschman, and Gunnar Henderson. And maybe they keep two of those three, or maybe, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. But I do expect them to put out realistic contracts to these guys. I remember when the Orioles were offering contracts and it was like, hey, we're going to offer Carlos Delgado 3 years, $30 million. Well, the Marlins offered me 3 years, $40 million. We'll counter with 3 years, $30 million. And it's like, what are we doing?
Exactly.
Times have changed. And again, we're not going to go out and just throw money at everybody because people want them to sign Corbin Burns, trade for Scooble. You got him under contract. Some of the pieces you're trading, these prospects, you're not going to be able to keep, but having them for 6 or 7 years is going to be helpful.
Someone just pointed this out to me. After every win, you know they play Orioles Magic. You know when that started? This year.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Well, you're down there more than I
did. Because I'm so used to it now, I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Our barbershop question of the day. Rubenstein says he has full faith in Mike Elias and the decision that he makes. Is this the time to have a hands-off approach for the owner? I want to hear from you. 410-583-1057. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Don't know where, you know where time it is. Two tickets to see Creed at Jiffy Lube Live on July 26th. Courtesy of Live Nation. Caller number 410-583-1057. This is actually a sweet one, isn't it? Scott Stepp, you piece of... Creed tickets for you.
Bubba Shop topic of the day. Rubenstein says he has full faith in Elias and the decision he makes. Is taking a hands-off approach the best thing, the best approach for this baseball team? Let's go to Wes in Dundalk. What's up, Wes?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to pose a couple of questions about the whole Rubenstein thing. We, as fans, we all want to know, are they going to be in on Corbin Burns, of course. But I'm looking at this thing. I'm worried about Tony Tater. I feel like if we know who Ramon Urias is and we know who Ryan Mountcastle is, we need to know who Kobe Mayo is, and that could actually affect whether or not we need to re-sign Santander.
Kierstad is a replacement for Santander, not Mayo.
Tony can play first base, and they don't know if they're going to put Kobe at first base.
Kierstad is the replacement for Santander.
Absolutely.
But not Mayo.
If you get Mayo the rest of this year of playing time, you have an idea whether you want to retain Tony Tater to play first base.
No, it's not. Mayo has nothing to do with Santander is what I'm trying to tell you, Wes. That's Kierstad.
He's trying to say that you could move Santander to first base.
No.
I'm just listening. That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah, that's throwing anybody at first base. They tried that before and didn't do it again.
People think this is like Little League, where you put like the kid that's okay at first, but it's not. It's a hard position to play.
And I know what he was trying to say. That's why I kept saying that has nothing. Santander's not playing first base here. He's not. They tried that before, remember?
Yeah, it's not. It's,
they took him off.
This for is a reason. Not where you put every that guy that just can't play the field.
Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin?
Morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing great, man. Other than trying to buy a new truck, they want $90,000 for an F-350.
When did pickup trucks become $90,000?
Oh, man. Like,
I guess this morning.
What's on your mind, Kevin?
But great topic, fellas. I just wanted to share something with you real quick. As of 2024, Forbes reported that there's only 2,640 billionaires, roughly one in every 578,000. My only point being is is this man's earned a unique title in this world, and what he's doing with the Orioles, in my opinion, is spot on by getting to know the clientele, like y'all said, the marketing and so on. And he's used to having a strong team, hiring the best people in the business, and that's one of the reasons why he's where he's at. And just in closing, that allows the man to do whatever he wants as the Orioles owner. And this money coming up that he's going to pay out ain't nothing different than what he's used to. You know what I mean? I love it, man. He's a great guy.
I think he's a great guy, too. I think he's going to be successful. But let's keep in mind, there's a lot of billionaire owners in sports who lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to be one of them, because I like what he's doing, but that's not the fact that he's...
Well, how many billionaire owners have we talked about in baseball that just won't spend money?
Yeah.
They do treat their team like it's a business. They're not going to overspend if fans aren't showing up. They're not going to go out and try to put their best foot forward and spend money and see if fans show up.
Yeah.
Because that's a bad business decision for them. I guess you just got to hope that our owner is going to be a little bit different.
Well, if I'm a billionaire to own the team, I'm not spending my money. If I can't generate revenue, right. Yeah. I'm not spending my money.
Well, it depends.
If the difference between getting Ed is $4 million and I got to throw in that $4 million, that's one thing. But I'm not building payroll off my money.
You can't get it. He's too old for a $4 million contract.
I don't know, man. That's not true. He can still, you know, he's filling the seats. Ladies love him. Let's go to Art Beauties and get Mike. What's up, Mike?
Damn.
Fellas, what's going on?
What's up, Mike? Speaking of ladies loving him, Mike and Art Beauties is pretty popular.
You know, the other day I celebrated my 14th wedding anniversary with a woman that I stole from another man when she was engaged.
I love it.
Player.
You ain't walking down the aisle with my wife at any wedding.
Not a chance. But, you know, when I go to Brewster Street Barbecue, Jeremy, I don't tell them how to cook the beef.
Yeah, I get it.
I think that Rubenstein, he knows business. He should run business. He should hire people like Elias and have confidence in them. If he wants to set parameters around salary cap, top ceiling, basement, I'm good with that. But if he wants to trade Holiday and he believes it's in the best interest of the club, I say carte blanche, get it done.
Yeah, I agree. How do you feel about that? Like, we don't want to trade him, but if they feel the deal is right and they move him, will you be okay with it? Because, like, again, I'm not saying you trust the front office blindly, but I don't know what they've done.
I do.
I get it, but I don't know what they've done to show you that you shouldn't trust them.
I could give my opinion on anything, but my opinion is just that. At the end of the day, I trust Michael Elias and Sigma Dell and Yvette Rose. I trust them. I'm paid to give my opinion on a daily basis. I don't want to get rid of Jackson Holiday. If I wake up tomorrow and Jackson Holiday is traded for, what, Scoble or something? Mm-hmm. Okay. Evidently, they thought that was the best deal.
Yeah.
Evidently, they got something up their sleeve.
Yeah, and I guess the thing we would talk about is, do they get pushed too much in negotiations? Because the Tigers are in an enviable position because they don't have to trade.
They don't. That guy's going to be around for a while. And that's what I mean by, see, people don't understand the word desperation. To me is, let's say my list of untouchables, Ed, 2 weeks ago was 5. But based on the way we've played now, my untouchables is 3. Why do my untouchables go from 5 to 3? Because I got desperate.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, I mean, it could be called desperation or necessity. I mean, it's one or the other, but they both fit.
Yeah. Let's go to Wayne in Baltimore. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up?
Thank you for taking my call, first off. Do appreciate it. I actually want to, you know, it's interesting, you guys just spoke in your last segment comparing the Mets to the Orioles. You know, I'm a diehard Mets fan who lives in Baltimore now. Been living in Baltimore for 14 years. Watch the Mets on a nightly basis. Been watching the Orioles on a regular basis as well. Both teams have a rich owner. You know, we could see with the Mets getting the high prospect, you know, the high free agents. Didn't work out necessarily. Yeah, we got some people like Lindor, who has become a team leader. Definitely underrated. You know, with the Orioles, I wonder who's going to stand up. I want to see that captain like Lindor, I feel like, has become the captain. I also want to see a Grimace pitch the first pitch. That'd be really helpful. I want to see that OMG moment. And then Norris to you, LGM. Hey,
can I ask you a question, Wayne, before you go? Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Where do we compare the Mets and the Orioles? I don't remember that part of the conversation.
Are you talking about with rich ownership?
We mentioned the Mets a few minutes ago.
I said the Mets have an owner that's willing to spend. Okay. And I don't think he cares if they make money, although they will.
410-583-1057, that's the number.
I do think Yankee fans are going to, well, they might not enjoy seeing Juan Soto play for the Mets next year, but I do think that happens.
You think he goes to the Mets?
Mm-hmm.
I think he loves the Bronx, man.
Okay, but I still think the Mets are going to throw everything at him. I do.
There's nothing better they like than stealing their players.
Oh, my. I don't even care if he stays with the Yankees. They're going to have to overpay. And to be fair, it's hard to overpay for Juan Soto. He's such a good hitter. But, man, he sucks in the field.
Anywhere.
Okay.
Well, you look at the history, though. I mean, they have a habit of stealing from each other. You know, Strawberry and Gooden end up at the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And the back and forth. It's just it's kind of what they do there.
Daily Line with Jeremy Kahn at 9:30. Todd Koppelman joins us at 9:15, but on the other side is World of Stupid.
Can the Mets get Lenny Dykstra some teeth? Anyway, all right, what we're going to talk about, and I just want to tell people ahead of time, we're going to be talking about the knuckle shuffle a lot. People doing things they shouldn't be doing in places they shouldn't be doing it. We're going to get into that. And also, I brought up yesterday that, as we talk about orcas and killer whales, that they're the apex predator in the ocean. Might be a new apex predator. I'm going to tell you about it when we come back. You guys are going to be surprised. Coming back here on the Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.